Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, book of Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at this tonight. These verses are so familiar with you, I'm sure, but we're going to look at them for simplicity's sake. Book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Look back, if you will, in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. We turned there just a moment ago. Mark 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, here's what we've been doing. In our doctrinal study last week, we talked about stewardship. We saw that there's principles of stewardship. We saw that there's areas of stewardship. We saw that stewardship is of our treasure. And then we talked about the tithe, and we talked about offerings. Now tonight, we're going to talk about the doctrine of missions, the doctrine of missions. Now, what is a missionary? A missionary is somebody that goes in another place that does not have the gospel, such as we would send somebody in our stead to go over to perhaps Laos or Korea or maybe Russia even or someplace in Europe, and we would send somebody in our stead. Now, what do they do in our stead? A missionary goes like a full-time soul winner that goes, and they go with the express purpose of reaching people with the gospel, starting an independent Baptist church, baptizing them into that church, then helping them to grow. Now, that's not only what a missionary does. There's many, many types of different missionaries out there. But a true missionary will always preach or give the gospel. And they go, if you will, please, in our place. We almost, as we send missionaries out, we deputize them to be able to go and to represent us in a foreign field to a foreign country or a foreign people to give the gospel. Now, it's important that we understand that this is something that God is very interested in. Many of you have heard about the 1040 window. The 1040 window extends from 10 degrees to 40 degrees above the equator. Most of the world's population lives in the 1040 window. There are over 2,000 unreached people groups that are in that 1040 window. There are 3.2 billion people living in that 1040 window that has never heard the gospel one single time. They don't know what it is to have a church. They don't know what it is to have a Bible. They live in that 1040 window. In that 1040 window, 82% of the world's population, that is poor people, live in that 1040 window. That's about 2.4 billion people. That is the world's population that are the poorest among the world's population live in that 1040 window. And so it's very important that we understand that we have an obligation, not just here, but we have an obligation around the world to give out the gospel. Right now on mission fields from independent Baptist churches on the mission field, there are 2,628 missionaries. That's it. 2,628 missionaries that are on mission fields around the world that are sent out by 23 fundamental independent Baptist mission boards. Out of those, there are 72, think about this, 72 nations right now. We're talking about just the independent Baptists that went, but let's take a conglomerate, if you will, of all missionaries being sent from every religion, whether they're false or true, but every missionary being sent from every religion from the United States of America. There are 72 countries that do not have a missionary from the U.S. 72 countries that do not have a missionary from the U.S. There is missionaries that greatly go to some countries, such as Brazil. Brazil has the largest population of independent Baptist missionaries compared to any other country in the world. Right now, tonight, there's 253 independent Baptist missionaries that's in Brazil. The second largest conglomerate of missionaries is in Mexico. The second largest gathering of independent Baptist missionaries tonight is on the field of Mexico. They have 206 independent Baptist missionaries. The third is the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has 112 missionaries that is from the United States of America. Now, there's a great need. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I command you, and though I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world, amen." Now, that means that we're supposed to go, and we're supposed to give them the gospel, and to do our best to win them to Jesus Christ. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, that means that we're supposed to baptize them. By the way, there's only one institution that exists today that has the authority of God to be able to baptize, and that is the local New Testament Baptist Church. All right? Now, we have to understand that. Somebody says, well, I'm an evangelist, and everybody I lead to Christ, I'm going to take somewhere and find a swimming pool and baptize them in a swimming pool. That is not scriptural baptism. There is only two institutions, if you will, or only two ordinances that's given to the local church. And one of those is the ordinance of that which is baptism. The other is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But nobody has an authority to baptize other than the local church. Okay? And so that's why missionaries are sent out through the local church. Now, we're supposed to go and we're supposed to tell them about Christ. And we're supposed to do our best to win them to Jesus Christ. When they get saved, we're supposed to baptize them. But don't stop there. The Bible says we're supposed to teach them. The Sunday school is an arm of that, if you would please, phase of the Great Commission. Now, what is that? The Sunday school is the teaching arm of the church. When we have what we call our summer clinics, that's a teaching arm of the church. When we have the Wednesday night Bible study, that is a teaching arm of the church. All right? And so the church has responsibility to be able to give them the gospel, to be able to baptize them, and to be able to teach them, to train them, to be able to go out and to be not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, if you would please. Not being one that is blown to and fro. But the Bible teaches that the church has that responsibility. That's why it's important that we be trained underneath the only God-given authority that God has given us, the local church. All right? The local church, by the way, is the only institution that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, established himself. There was no other institution that Jesus Christ established. If you remember when Jesus was there, that which was Paul, or that Saul now, before he became the great apostle Paul, was walking down the Damascus road. He was a persecutor of the church. Jesus took it very personal, and he said, "Why kick ye against the pricks?" All right? So he was taking it personal. Now, by the way, Jesus, you listen to me, cares very much about his church, about his people. The church is not a building. The church is comprised of born-again, baptized believers with the great intent of getting out the gospel to a lost and dying world. Okay? Now, that's what the church is. All right? So the church is you and I coming together. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 25, "Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together." So God says that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling. So could I tell you tonight that it would be the will of God that you come to church on Sunday morning? Would I have God's authority to make such a bold, brass, straightforward type of statement? Yes. Would I have God's authority to be able to make such a brass, bold statement about church being important and you being in your place on Sunday night? Yes. Would I have God's permission, yea, God's, if you would please, endorsement about pushing Wednesday night church services? Yes. Because this is the place that God himself, through his son, established as the only institution that his son, Jesus Christ, established during his earthly ministry. All right, now wait a minute. So how is it that that ties in to missions? A missionary is supposed to be accountable to the local church. A missionary is sent out through the local church. Anytime you get a missionary that says, well, I tell you what, I'm not accountable to anybody, he is a missionary outside of the bounds that God set up for him to operate therein. A missionary is supposed to be accountable to the body of believers that has sent him. That is the local church. All right, now let's notice some things about this thing called faith promise giving. Statement number one, what is faith promise offering missions? What is that? Well, faith promise offering for missions is the amount that you have promised to give by faith through obedience to what God has laid on your heart. I gave two illustrations, I think it was on Sunday night, about people's individual beliefs about faith promise. Some people believe this, that you pray and God lays something on your heart, and then if God gives it to you, then you give it. Now, to me, that's a very, very weak description of faith promise. I gave you Bible illustration after Bible illustration a couple of Sunday nights ago, or I think it was Sunday morning. I gave you Bible illustration after Bible illustration that God's way is that God lays something on your heart, and then you work out through sacrifice of how to be able to be obedient to God. That is more faith promise. I gave you the illustration about Abraham and about his son. I gave you the illustration about Moses's mama and Moses. I gave you the illustration about the widow woman. I gave you the illustration about the young lad. All of those already had a possession, and that possession that God had entrusted them, he expected them to be a good steward over that, and he required them to give of that possession. All right, same illustration about a missionary. A missionary, if you will, here's how missionaries do. God impresses upon their heart by way of the Holy Spirit and leads them to go to a mission field. Now, what do? They rise up in obedience and they say, God's will is I go to that mission field and I'm going to do everything I can to obey God. Now, why is it that we treat faith promise giving any other way? It's funny. But sometimes if we're not careful, here's what we do. We run to God in every avenue of life but finances. But finances is just as much a part of the will of God in your life as any other thing. Okay? And so the Bible description that we get of giving to God and offering is this. God, and you'll see this in every single case in the Bible, when God talks about an offering, God is the one, if you will, that has already given the person the offering to give. And it is up to the person to be obedient to God with that substance that he gave them so that they can now have the blessings of God in their life. So here's what I do. I pray and I say, Dear Father, I'm going to be totally obedient to you. In this faith promise giving of an offering, I'm going to pray, and God, you show me what to give. And God, as you show me what to give, then if I have to sacrifice, I'll sacrifice. If I have to, I know churches where there is people that have been retired for years. God spoke to their heart about faith promise giving, and so they went out, they got a job full time, and they give their entire salaries to faith promise for missions. Because that's what God told them to do. Okay? We're dealing with that subject matter of obedience. Now, so faith promise offering is a biblical plan or a method of giving. Now, what does it involve? Well, let's take the words, faith. Certainly, you would agree tonight that faith is a biblical word. Now, God wants us to exercise our faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The word promise, what does that mean? Well, that's a biblical word. I believe that God talks about that over in Psalm 76 in verse 11, where the Bible says, vow and pay unto the Lord your God, and let all that he, the Bible says, that is around you, the presence unto all that ye ought to in fear. All right, so God is talking about how you give what he has already given of you. Then offerings. Oh, that's a biblical word. The Bible talks about that in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. So we see that faith, promise, offerings is something that God honors. It is found in the scriptures. All right, so missions is at the very heart of God. And we know that to be true. How do we know that? Well, Christ died for the whole world. But how did he die? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All right. And so we know that giving so that somebody else could be saved is at the very heart of God. God himself made the first sacrifice for missions so that somebody that was in a foreign land that spoke a different tongue than that which was in his land, heaven, that had a different, if you would please, background than what his son had. And he gave his only begotten son so that somebody in a foreign land that spoke a foreign tongue, that had a foreign culture compared to the culture in heaven, he gave his only begotten son so that somebody, his son was the very first missionary that ever existed. And so the Bible talks about how Christ died for the world. So we know that God is behind that which is faith, promise, offerings. We know this, that it's important that nobody perish. God says he's not willing that anybody should perish, that anyone should perish. We know this, that we are told that Christ through him is the only provision of salvation. You cannot get saved any other way, cannot go to heaven any other way, except through Jesus Christ. We know this tonight. We know that they cannot hear without a preacher. We know that. We know that a preacher has to be sent. We know that the agency of sending that preacher, that missionary, if you will, is the local church. Therefore, it makes sense that we give our offerings through the local church to sponsor the missionaries that's being sent. Think about this tonight. Faith promise offerings is over and above the natural tithe. Okay? All right, the tithe, God tells me the tithe, and we played with this the other night, but God tells me what the tithe is. You know, they gave one-tenth of all that they possess. All right, now what is the tithe? The tithe is 10% of that which God has blessed you with. Now, whether that, I remember we had a man when I pastored in Tennessee, Brother Walter Hudgens. You remember Brother Walter? Brother Walter lived off of the land. He lived off of the land, did not have money. He did not use money, but he lived off of the land. Now, he would use money to be able to go and buy clothes and stuff like that. And so it's not that he didn't use money. It's just that many, many times Brother Walter would do this. He would barter. He would barter. He would have chickens or so, and they would have eggs, and he would take the eggs and he would barter. He would go and trade the eggs for something that he needed. When I first went there to be pastor, Brother Walter brought me eggs. And I said, oh, I said, that's kind. He said, no, that's not kind. That's my tithe. Now he tithed off of the land. Well, did you not know that that's what many did in the Old Testament? Okay, all right. And so they tithe off of what God has given them. All right. Now, what we do is we take the funds that come in, support the ministry. We support, of course, all that goes on here for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, watch this, if you will. So the tithe is something that God says to give. So a person makes $200, they tithe 20. If they make $400, they tithe 40. If they make $4,000 a week, then they tithe $400. Okay. Whatever they make, it's 10% of whatever they make. But the offering is above the tithe. Now, how do I know what to give an offering? How do I do that? Somebody comes by and preacher has them up here and he's a missionary or she's a missionary or somebody comes by and we've got a special speaker how do I know what to give? Okay, that's where you and God come together. You pray and you say, God, please show me, help me, guide me. I submit my will, my things, my possessions to you. They're yours anyway. And so God, you show me what to give. Now watch this. When I give the tithe, that's called kindergarten nursery. Okay? Here, you study in your Bible, and God holds back a curse from those that give the tithe. But you don't step into the area of blessing above your normal common living until you start giving an offering. All right? And so when a person gets above the tithe, what God has told them to do, and they start giving offerings, that's when God says, you got my attention. And the tithe is 10% of all of your increase. It's 10%, if you would please, of everything that God has given you, that God has blessed you with. All right, now watch this, if you will. And so here's what we see. Faith promise offerings. What is that? It's based on faith. It's based on faith. All right? Let me give you some statements. I said statement number one. What is the faith promise offering mission? Statement number two. All of us are commanded to take the gospel farther than the local area. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's pretty good distance. We're pretty good distance from heaven. All right, so he sent his son to a far away place that, if you would please, was not local to heaven. Then you'll see this. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So it's not talking about just our nation, but it's talking about other nations. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Now, Jerusalem is our local city. So I'm supposed to give the gospel to everybody I possibly can in my local city. That's why it's a very good thing to carry gospel tracts. When you carry those gospel tracts with you, okay, watch this. If you carry a credit card, you are more tempted to use it. If you carry cash in your pocket, you're more tempted to spend it. And so if you carry gospel tracts in your pocket or in your purse, you're more apt to give them out. All right. And so here's what we see. The Bible says I'm supposed to go. Jerusalem is our city. Judea is our region. So not just the city where the church is located, but the entire region. That is also our responsibility. Samaria is that which is an entire country. Samaria, a country. All right, then that which is the othermost parts of the world is that which is a great distance, or if you would please, other countries. All right, so I have a responsibility. Statement number one, I said this, what faith promise offering is. Statement number two, I said that all of us are commanded to take the gospel to those that are around us in our local area, but also other areas farther than that. Then we see that missionaries help us to fulfill the Great Commission. What is that? Okay, it is not hard for me to go into the city. It's not hard for you to go into the city. It might not be difficult for us to be able to go into that which is Judea, that which is a surrounding area, our region. It becomes a little bit more difficult when we go into Samaria, the entire America. That becomes a little bit more difficult. We're going to have to get some help. We're going to have to be able to send out some church planters to be able to plant churches, to be able to reach boys and girls in other cities around America. All right? But then it becomes extremely difficult for us to be able to reach out into the uttermost parts of the world. So what do? It's almost like you hire somebody to go. They go and they represent you. We pay them to go in our stead. We support them to give out the gospel. And somebody says, but preacher, why do we do that? Because a lot of countries still today have the old-fashioned rule that if somebody comes to our country, And they work in our country, then they're taking from our people. And so unless they're working from a corporation that's already established in that country, such as some missionaries get in through teaching in schools, and they do that because the corporation is already located there. Okay? But still today, it is very, very hard for a missionary to go anywhere around the world and to take a job. Many, many times they'll be kicked out of the country and they lose their visa. If they go to a country that's not open to the gospel, If they go, if you go to Vietnam, you can't do it. But if you were to try to go to Vietnam, you'd have to go undercover, what they call underground. If you were to go to South Korea, you've got to go underground. If you were to go to certain parts of that which is China, you've got to go undercover. You've got to go underground. Because if you get caught, not only will you be kicked out of the country, but you will be put in prison. In Vietnam, they have a rule. If you pass out any Christian literature, 2 years in prison, no questions asked. No questions asked. Okay? And so here's what we see. We see that missionaries are those that help us to fulfill that. They go to other countries. Let me hurry tonight. Okay? Then why should I make a faith promise commitment? Why should I give a faith promise offering? Statement number one, to prove, watch this now, to prove or to demonstrate my love to God. I want to prove to God how much I love him. The Bible says I speak not by commandment, but it says to prove the sincerity of my love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. So I'm going to give to prove my love. Giving shows God how much I care about the cause that he cares about. You know, the way to get to know your dad is to find out what your dad's excited about. And you spend time beside your dad getting excited about the very same thing that your dad's excited about. Sometimes we have it backwards. We say, well, my dad doesn't love me because my dad doesn't spend time with me. Okay? Then what would be wrong with you spending time with your dad because you love him? See, the shoe fits both ways. Husband says, well, I tell you what, I wish my wife would spend more time with me just to prove that she loves me. Okay? Now, what about you? See, the shoe fits both ways. That's why the Bible says he that have friends must show himself friendly. The shoe fits both ways. Well, nobody ever shakes my hand. Well, it would help if you put it out. You know, the shoe fits both ways. You've got to be the one that extends. All right, so here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that to prove my love, or if you would please, to demonstrate my love, to show the sincerity of my love. Statement number two, why should I get involved in faith promise giving? Well, to help to carry out the Great Commission. I can't go. I illustrated that the other night. I can't go to every single place. Now, I think every preacher ought to try to go to as many places as he possibly can within reason. And depending on what God's called him to do, he will find the reasoning. But within reason, every preacher ought to try to do as much as he can to help reach the world with the gospel. All right, C, to put faith into practice. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All right, so why am I going to do this? Because I'm going to put my faith into practice. All right, wait, let me hurry. All right, to abound in the grace of God. Therefore, the Bible says, ye abound in everything. It says, see that ye abound in the grace also. This grace also. So I abound in the grace of God. Why do I support faith promise giving? Why do I do that? So that I can follow biblical examples of giving. All throughout the Bible, you see biblical examples. Why do I do it? Because I want to follow the example of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about how Jesus gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And he was known for giving over and over and over again. To follow those that inspired me, such as Paul, the Apostle Paul. He said, it's expedient for you to exercise the blessings of God, the blessings of Jesus Christ in my life, to encourage others to give. As you give, so does encourage others. You ever see somebody get excited about a ball game and you're not excited about a ball game? What happens? You get excited because they're excited and you don't even know who has the ball. But excitability is something, listen to me now, that influences. That it. You ever get up? Young man gets up and he gets up behind a hot preacher. The preacher's hitting the pulpit and he's spitting and he's running from pillar to post. All right. Did you know if you got up and you preached like you were falling asleep, you wouldn't fit in. But when you get up to preach behind a hot preacher as a young man, what does that do? That stirs you to preach with a little bit more of a high energy level than what you had before you ever got up. All right? And so what does it do? It encourages others to give. The Bible says that I'll reap a bountiful spiritual harvest. Oh, I love this. You know, when I first came, I preached a message, and this has been a while, quite a while ago, but I preached a message on your footprints. You remember that? Your footprints. And I showed you about in heaven, the Bible talks about how heaven is transparent. It's like, it's gold. It's like transparent glass. And in heaven, you're going to see the footprints of boys and girls from all over the world that you had an influence because you sent somebody over there to give them the gospel that otherwise they would not have ever been saved. And there's going to be little boys and girls, and there's going to be teenagers and men and women that's in heaven simply because you made sure they got the gospel. Okay? So I experienced the love of God. There's a fullness, if you will, please. That's why the Bible says a cheerful giver. The word cheerful there means this, hilarious. Have you ever seen somebody that just became hilarious? You know what that means? That means that they're it's a belly laugh. I mean, they're so happy about it. I mean, come on. Have you ever given to the point that it made you hilarious? You know, I mean, amen. Now, by the way, that's not the thing that took place in Florida years ago where they call it the happy revival or something like that where everybody just came in and all they did was laugh. There was no Bible base for that. But here's what you see. God says that this makes that joy come out. It's uncontrollable, all right? To prove that God can build your faith. The Bible says, prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So you can prove him to bring glory to God, to build up an account in heaven. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Listen to it. To please God. I please God by my giving. There are many, many reasons to be able to support missionaries around the world. When you really think about this, when you support a missionary around the world, you're able to send somebody in your place to do the job that you yourself are having difficulty doing because you're not there. You're not there. Now, as a church body, here's what we do. We come together and we try to reach as many people in our Jerusalem and also in our region as we possibly can, our Judea. And we do that through the bus ministry. And we do that through soul winners that's going out. We do that through people that are gathering and people that's passing out tracts and people that's witnessing and people that's showing others their need of Jesus Christ. And we do that all the time. But wait, it does not stop there. God has given us a responsibility to reach the world. And the only way to do that is through faith, promise. You know, for somebody to come up to you, stand up missionary. And so for somebody to come up to you, and he's a missionary, and he's traveling around. By the way, normally, let me give you a protocol. This is normal for a missionary. The average missionary today is traveling between 2.5 and 4 years to get their financial support to go to a foreign field. Now, I want you to go figure with me. They go to Bible college for 4 years. They give it everything they got. They sweat. They sacrifice. They learn. They work jobs. They struggle. Yes, they do that because they know the will of God. Now, by the way, doing the will of God is the most important thing you could ever do in your life. And it doesn't matter the struggle, and it does not matter the sacrifice. The will of God is the most important thing a person could ever step out to do, whatever that may be in your life. But they come, they sacrifice for 4 years or 5 years, or maybe they go for the master's degree and they stay for 7 years, or maybe they stay and get the doctorate that we're going to offer in a couple years to come. And so they stay to get that doctorate in theology. And so now they're staying for a full 8 years. And now they go out and they raise deputational funds. Now you're going to tack another 4 years on it. So it's going to take them 12 years just to make it to the mission field. If they stay for that doctorate, 12 years just to make it to the mission field. And boy, they leave with great excitement. And boy, they're excited, man. You know, I'm finally here. I got everything I need, and I've got all the education and all the endorsements from the local church and all the endorsements that God would want me to have. And boy, I'm excited. And so they spend their own money and they make their prayer cards and they make their letterheads and they put together a slide presentation or a DVD presentation, and they raise the money for their slide projector, and they raise the money for their missions board, and they sacrifice to put things on the table, and then they come to a local church and they meet the pastor, but the pastor's too busy for them. And the pastor doesn't have time for them. They've traveled for 13 hours to get there, and the pastor doesn't even have time to shake the hand. Pastor's too busy. And don't get me wrong when I say this, but he's too busy building his own little kingdom. And he doesn't care about a world. And he doesn't see the burden for a world. And he doesn't realize that this guy's come off the road and he needs some encouragement and he needs some love and he needs some help, because the last church didn't give it to him, and the church before that didn't give it to him, and the church before that didn't give it to him. And he's coming, and he's almost like, if you would play, and he's not wearing the best of clothes. He's been on the trail now for 2 years, and you can tell just by walking up to the guy that he's got a tattered shirt and he's got tattered sleeves, and his kids are wondering, why in the world is daddy dragging us all over the world like this? And I don't even know if I like this idea or not. Then we're going to go to a foreign country, and we're going to leave our grandparents, and we're not going to see them for another 4 years, and we're going to leave our cousins, and we're not going to see them for another 4 years, and it just doesn't seem right. But the will of God is always right. And if a person will resolve within themselves, no matter what God's will is, you be happy. Paul said that he was content with whatsoever state he found himself in. And so the will of God, no matter what it is, whether it's sleeping underneath an oak tree and reaching people down in the jungle place with that which is the gospel, if that be the will of God, that's the best place that any person could ever be. The will of God is supreme. But now wait, you and I as believers and part of a local church, when somebody comes through, and by the way, the Bible talks about how those that are of the faith, those, if you would please, that are of the faith are worthy of a double portion. And by the way, we ought to take and we ought to honor people and love people and help people. You know, when a missionary comes through, don't just treat them like the average person. They've sacrificed a little bit to get where they are. And they're living in a place many times of sacrifice on a continual basis. Somebody says, well, I sacrifice every week too. But you're doing it in your own country. You've got friends. You've got loved ones. You've got people that care. Sometimes people go to a mission field, have nobody that cares. And it's an uphill punt the whole way. Now, wait a minute. And so what do? I don't just shake his hand and try and get him to feel warmed and filled. But we as a church, we don't just shake his hand. But what we do is we dig down deep and we say, okay, how can I help him? I think he's a good guy. I think he's going to get the job done. I think he's a soul winner. He's trying to raise his family right. He's got things under control at the house. He's representing you well, both inside the house and outside the house. And so therefore, he is worthy to be able to go to the mission field and reach somebody with the gospel. He presents his burden with a tear through a slide presentation or a DVD presentation. He presents his burden with a tear, and you see the pictures, and watch me now, here's what happens. And so the pictures begin to jerk on our heart, and we say, oh. And our heart goes out. And we get emotionally driven. So we sacrifice for 2 weeks. A month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 8 months. Thank you, be seated. We sacrifice, and then all of a sudden we fall off the wagon. But when we fall off the wagon, what takes place is, now he's on the mission field, and we made an agreement with him that we're going to stand behind him, and we're going to support him, and we're not going to let him down. We're going to be, if you would please, the life rope that saves him from drowning. See, faith promise giving is supporting missions around the world. That's why it's important that we do our part to be able to see boys and girls, men and women, and teenagers saved.